We got a little football for you tonight, and I say it's a little football because the starters probably won't even get in uniform, but that's okay. You know what that means? It means that football season starts next Thursday, and it means that the rest of the team start the following Sunday or Monday, and that is awesome. Doug Christie, how are you, sir?
I am doing fantastic, Grant, and if I see one Seahawks starter even touch the field, I will be severely, severely upset and depressed, my friend.
You know, you think about all the players that have gone down in the preseason this year. Big losses. You know, I mean, I can go, you know, you talked about Seattle, their left tackle. You go wide receiver New England. You can go running back Kansas City. And I can go on down the list. It's really unbelievable. Miami quarterback, you know.
Yeah. You got a man. As we talked about this, I'm like, you know, preseason, Grant, and you're like, preseason, I'm telling you, Doug, it means absolutely nothing. On top of that, all I want to see is guys get out of the preseason without getting injured. And the next day we came in, my left tackle's injured, and on and on and on. Hate it.
All right. We have a 3.5-hour show because we do have the Raiders coming on at 6:30. So it is their final preseason game. And again, we have that for you coming up at 6:30. Dan Hawkins, the head coach of UC Davis at 4:30. Rich Sermonello, college football reporter for the College Football News at 5. And then Steve Sands from the Golf Channel at 6:15. We'll talk about what we saw with a dramatic finish in round one of the FedEx Cup. They continue this weekend. We'll talk to Steve Sands about that. Now, NFL news, Ezekiel Elliott, his hearing went into the third day, right?
Okay.
And it's interesting to me because the process here normally takes a week or so or more.
Okay.
There's a report out by Adam Schefter of ESPN that Harold Henderson, who is hearing the appeal, has been asked to have a decision by Monday. All right? Think about that for a minute. On Monday.
So 3 days of litigation.
Happy Labor Day weekend.
Yeah. How about that? And now I want you to litigate over or think about it, whatever you do.
You know why? Because the suspension is supposed to start on September 2nd because the first game is the following Sunday. So it won't be on the 2nd, but if it's Monday, it's the week of the first game, and that's a full week, and he can't be along with the team, et cetera, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, man. If you're talking 6 games, and, okay, think of it this way, Grant. If you think there's any possible way that he gets off with no. Okay.
Zero.
Well, in that shape, I would just say, okay, we're sitting out game one. Let's keep litigating and get the – because
you know
what you don't want to do is don't want to rush.
You know why I say that? He would be suspended for his act of pulling down the female's top in public. That was caught on video, and we've all seen that. And so that alone, in my opinion, would warrant a 1-game suspension by the NFL.
So you automatically sit out, week one. Who do you think is the person pushing, let's get this done by Monday?
I don't know. That's a great question. I mean, I would have to think the commissioner, but the commissioner also, I mean, they can't mess this up. That's the one thing. They can't mess this up. They have to do the right thing here.
Well, good luck with that. The chances of that aren't good, Grant, because they've been messing stuff up for quite some time. The kicker from New York gets 1 game. Then you get Harding, who gets 2 games. And
There's no rhyme or reason.
None. And that's where, they do everything else by the letter of the law. Section, 2646, where the commissioner has the right to judge. They make sure that they serve that properly. They got to do the rest of it.
I will say this. I think it is highly unlikely that Ezekiel Elliott will be on the field for the game next Sunday night against the Giants. I would say that's highly unlikely.
I would say I agree with that, and I would go another week after that. It's got to at least be 2 weeks if you're going to take into consideration what you talk about with the girls' thing at Mardi Gras. If that's going to be 2 games, there's your 2 games. Now, if it's up and beyond that, now we're speaking to all of the allegations that have yet to be proven.
All right. The other news in the NBA, and the Lakers were fined $500,000 for violating the NBA's anti-tampering rule when it was determined that general manager Rob Pelinka and Magic Johnson had contact with Paul George's agent after the team had already been warned.
Not steep enough. Not steep enough.
What do you think it should have been?
I don't know. Second-round draft pick. It had to be over $1 million. You got to send a message. Otherwise, I'm. You know what? I'm calling LeBron James right now. Hey, come to the Kings. I mean, if it's only going to be $500,000, I mean, you know, come on, Grant. You got to make it stiffer that people are absolutely not going to try to do this type of thing if you are going to send a message that way. Otherwise, I think this might be something that you see from time to time, and then they're going to have to get a steeper penalty. $500,000, no draft picks. I'm just going to call them up and have a conversation. If I get caught, I'll pay the bill.
All right, another, as we speak right now, unless it has been concluded in the last 10 minutes while we were waiting to come on the air, Zach Randolph is in court today. And there have been a variety of reports that I have not been able to confirm or deny. And so I'm going to wait until we hear the official outcome of today's court session, which as of 30 minutes ago was still going on.
Right, and to your point, the speculation is these are going to be reduced to misdemeanors and he should be okay to play, correct?
I don't know.
Okay. That's the type of thing I heard.
Darren Collison received a misdemeanor last year and was suspended for 8 games.
Okay.
So, I mean, I can't add to that until I hear the outcome of today's proceedings, which, again, as of 30 to 40 minutes ago, we're still ongoing.
You know, Grant, that is the tough thing about not only what we do, but just the speculation. Because even like Ezekiel Elliott, when you look at Jerry Jones and he's saying there's absolutely nothing there, maybe there's some stuff that we don't know that when you get behind closed doors and they put it out, that's why all of a sudden you might see a reduction in sentence or the sentence goes away because there's things that we don't know. And to your point, you got to wait and see.
Yeah, and again, you know, you talk about the misdemeanors. We've heard he's been charged with misdemeanor possession and misdemeanor arresting, resisting arrest. I want to hear what happens. I want to hear what the end result of all of this is going to be.
How long do you think, just off the maybe guessing, do you think that that'll be solved by today, or that might be something that's drawn out a little bit?
I don't know in a situation like this if there's plea bargaining going on, saying, hey, I don't know. Fortunately, I've never had to go through the experience, so I don't have any firsthand knowledge, and nor am I a criminal defense attorney and or prosecutor. And so I don't really know. I don't want to take a guess and be wrong here.
Yeah, it's a tough one. I don't know either because I haven't been through that. Is there some wood around here?
Yeah.
Knock on wood.
Well, I can 100% guarantee you. All right, I may do something stupid in my life, but I can 1,000% guarantee you. Is there such a thing as 1,000%?
You just made it up.
All right, well, it's 10 times 100, okay?
Gotcha.
That I will never, ever, ever be in court for something like this. That I can absolutely, you can but every single penny you've ever seen in your life on that one.
Yeah, well, I've seen what's in your backpack.
Thank you. I appreciate
that. I don't
think
we have to worry about that.
That's right. Now, if my protein bars all of a sudden become against the law, I'm in real trouble here. This one, we're on radio, but this one here melted in the car, so I've got it in a cup of ice to see if I can, you know, bring it back to life.
Look at you, man.
You know what I mean?
I hope it's not too early for jokes. I apologize, everyone.
So?
That's just kind of my nature.
No, it's not. We're all good. Okay. The deal last night was consummated. It's official. With Cleveland and Boston. And I think the next step in all of this, and mm-hmm. what I mean step, is I want to know when we're going to see Isaiah Thomas on the court again.
And, Grant, just like anything else, this would be pure speculation. I'm saying mid-year. I think that you're going to probably get into 30 or 40 games, I'm thinking, because the way it's sounding – he's not ready, won't be ready at the beginning of the season. So if that's the case, now you got to ramp him up and you got to make sure he's okay. And the hip is delicate on top of the fact, Grant, that this is his contract year. So he has to make sure he is 100% because can you imagine what that would do if he came back and then had a reoccurrence to any contract negotiations going forward?
Good point. 339-1140. That's 339-1140. 800-920-1140. Great match going on in New York right now, round two of the U.S. Open. And Roger Federer, who had to come from behind to win a five-set match in round one, is in the fifth set against a guy that he's 16-0 against, a Russian player that he's never lost to, and he's in the fifth set.
Give that name a shot, 2-1. Grant. Go ahead. Give the name a shot.
I can't even see the name.
Yuzhny.
I'll know his name a lot more if he beats Federer, because I'll hear it for the next 48 hours.
No doubt. But you know what? When we were talking last time about his first set and he was facing an American, we both said, interestingly enough, going five sets in your very first match, will that rub and wear on him being an older player? And I think that that's probably what we're seeing when you're facing a guy that you've never had a loss against, 16-0. You should handle him maybe, you know, four sets, something, but this is going the whole ride.
All right. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. The calendar will turn to September, meaning that you've got to be on a MLB roster by today to be eligible for the postseason.
So does that put anybody out there in your mind, Verlander?
Well, the Angels get a wild card boost by taking on Justin Upton's contract. So that's the big news. He adds firepower to, you know, again, the Angels.
Yeah.
And they're battling. And the Yankees are struggling right now. Baltimore's hot. Minnesota's right there. The Angels are making a move. So now this is what it's all about. They are trying to get loaded up for this final stretch drive here.
What's your take? Obviously, the O's sweep my Mariners, and Mariners aren't playing good right now.
You know, a lot has to do when you play a team. They just happen to be hot right now.
Yeah. What's your take on Bryce Harper, not from our understanding, not even being able to run at this
particular
point?
Yeah, I'd say it's unlikely we're going to see him be a factor in the postseason.
Wow.
I mean, I'm speculating on that.
So the speculation on the other end of that I heard this morning is we'll be seeing him in pinstripes, Grant Napier.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that either.
That swing match your ballpark?
Oh, no, it's tailor-made. I'm not a Bryce Harper fan. I don't want to see him in New York. I'm not a Bryce Harper fan. I never have been.
Will be if you win the pennant.
I'm not a Bryce Harper fan.
If you win the series.
I'm not a Bryce Harper fan.
Gosh,
but here's the point. We'll see. We'll see where all that goes.
Okay.
You know, I don't know.
So is he, if you know, is he a free agent coming up?
He is soon to be a free agent.
Okay.
And here's the other deal about Bryce Harper, and you make a point here. That ballpark is tailor-made for him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is. But he's going to, when you know, if he decides that he wants to leave Washington, if they are not going to give him a contract that he wants, then at that point, yes. There will be a lot of teams that want to bid for his services. I mean, he's very talented. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, what you don't like about him, Grant?
I think he's a prima donna. I think he's a hothead.
He fit right in New York.
He gets hurt a lot. There are no prima donnas in
New York. Oh, God.
Name
one.
One.
Odell Beckham Jr.
No, we're talking baseball.
Oh, okay. My bad. I didn't know we were sports
specific. There are none on the Yankees. No, we're talking. Not just talking about baseball?
Yeah, we were.
Okay.
You said name one.
We're talking baseball. There are none on the
actually,
Yankees.
Actually, you guys have some. Noel Sanchez.
Gary Sanchez?
He's not a prima donna. He did sucker punch that guy.
He's not a prima donna.
Man, did you see he let another ball by him last night?
He's the worst defensive catcher in baseball.
Oh, my goodness, man. He should have had that one, too.
He's the worst defensive catcher in baseball.
Yeah, but your superstar to Mr. Judge, he is a gentleman. And that's where you're trying to go.
Yeah, I don't know if I would call him a superstar, but he is he is a class act.
On the verge of taking his game to the
next level. You never know.
Hits the high heat.
We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. So Bryce Harper, you know, again, he only agreed to a 1-year deal. So we'll see if the Nationals decide to keep him or not, because it was, I think, early May, if I've got my calendar right, where he agreed to a 1-year deal. So let's see what happens.
Yes. Yeah. I have a feeling that even though Grant Napier doesn't like him, he will be in pinstripes,
And yeah, it's not. I mean, he's good for next year. It's not the end of this year. It's the end of next season. Next so year. I want to see. All right. So at the end of next year, where is he at? Where's his health? He's right now what, 24 years old?
Something like that. Yeah.
So he's got at the end of next year, he will be a free agent.
So you already know if he does sign with the Yankees, you know what your birthday present, what your Christmas present will be. It'll be nonstop, Grant. It'll be something
I'll make a prediction right now and say that he will not be a New York Yankee.
Wow.
You know, he's asking for a 10-year deal in the neighborhood of $400 million. I wouldn't give anybody $400 million, okay? I can guarantee you that, with the exception of one player. There's only – if there is such a thing as a
I know who it is.
It's Mike Trout.
That's exactly
okay, that's
right.
It. Bryce Harper, I wouldn't give $200 million to.
So are you saying that Mike Trout and Bryce Harper are similar, but the attitude is different?
Because I think Mike Trout's a far better ball player.
Yeah, he's five-tooler. And good
and again, Harper was having a phenomenal year this year. I don't want to undermine him. He was batting, what, .320, and he had, what, 30 home runs. And I mean, the guy was having a phenomenal year. I get that. You know, but this is the same guy that last year couldn't hit a beach ball thrown underhand for most of the season. You know?
Yeah, I'm picturing it in my mind. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, Grant.
Right?
I think I might be able to hit a beach ball out of the infield, Grant Napier.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. You know that the Cowboys-Texans game was canceled tonight, and a lot of the players are participating in a live telethon broadcast during their practice to raise funds for the Hurricane Harvey relief efforts. I will tell you, this morning, Carmichael Dave had Sean Salisbury on, and Sean lives in Houston, and I've known Sean for a long time. And I was on my way to the gym, and I actually sat in the parking lot for 20 minutes to listen to the interview. And I would encourage anyone to go to khtk.com and listen to the podcast, because the interview was phenomenal. And I will say this about Sean Salisbury. There are those that talk, and he does talk a lot. And then there are doers, and then there are make-believers, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. There are people that are all talk and no action. And then there are people that are talk and action. And there are people that do things out of the goodness of their heart and not for monetary benefits. And that is Sean Salisbury. What Sean Salisbury did this week and has done in his city of Houston is remarkable. And if anyone ever wants to be critical of what Sean Salisbury has done, ask yourself if you've ever seen a homeless person on the street and then decided to take them in and house them for 18 months the way Sean Salisbury did with a homeless man.
Really?
Who has now completely turned his life around, is fully back on his feet, working, et cetera. And Sean did that for this gentleman, took him in, lodged, took care of him, brought him into his home, and basically made him a part of his family. Okay? So when you want to talk about people that say, well, you know what, they talk a good game, but they don't back it up, Sean Salisbury has one vehicle, and he's donating his truck. All right? He's giving his truck away to a family that needs it more than he does. And as he said on with Carmichael Dave this morning, he will end up going and buying another vehicle. But if he has to take Uber to work for the next few weeks, he's fine. He can live with that. But he has donated. He's given away his vehicle to a family in need that doesn't have a house, does not have a vehicle. They have lost everything. And so, you know what? Again, there are people that talk, and then there are people that go out and do it. And the interview with Carmichael Dave today was spectacular. And again, I invite anyone to go to khtk.com and listen to it.
I will absolutely do that.
It was on from 8 to 8:30.
Sean Salisbury has a new fan in me. I was, you know, I've seen his work and like it, but hearing stuff like that, Grant, it's moving.
How many people can say that they have taken a homeless person, complete stranger, and basically have taken them into their home,
mm-hmm.
given them a new start, a stranger, a fresh start. And, I mean, I got to tell you, there's one person I know, all right? There was just one that I can name, and that's Sean.
Wow.
Now, I'm not saying that it's never been done before. What I am saying is Sean has done it. And he didn't do it because, you know, he was looking for, I don't know, to be on the front page of, you know, Newsweek magazine or whatever. He did it because that's what he does.
That is absolutely beautiful.
And Sean's hit rock bottom before. I don't want to make Sean out. Sean hit rock bottom at ESPN, and he hit rock bottom. And when he was fired at ESPN, it was devastating to him, and it has taken a long time for him to get back to where he is now. So he knows what adversity is. He knows what it's like to be at the bottom of the chain, so to speak. All right. So it's not like he's just, you know, had fine red wine and caviar his whole life. He knows what it's like to be on the bottom.
Yeah. You know, sometimes, Grant, it takes that to have the compassion to do something as, I don't know the word, magnanimous as what you just stated that Sean did. And man, fantastic.
Isn't that great?
That is, it's past great. I was trying to think of a word to use that had more than two syllables.
All right. I'll tell you real quickly here. All right. A man received a Christmas gift, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Sean Salisbury calls Russell Brissett his friend. They discuss everything from sports to politics. And Christmas Day, this past Christmas Day, marked the one-year anniversary of when they met. Salisbury was driving home after visiting with his children. After a half hour outside of Dallas, walking down I-45 with a big old duffel bag was Russell. He had been living on the streets for nearly 25 years, Brissett was. He was having a difficult time. He was in rock bottom. So he began walking south from St. Louis in search of a warmer climate. Brissett said drugs, alcohol, no direction, and when you hit the skids, it takes a long time for it to stop. Salisbury initially saw Brissett. He drove past him, but then something in his body told him to turn back. Sean Salisbury quoted, "I stopped for a second and said, 'Where are you headed?' He says, 'Katy, Texas.' And I said, 'Come on in.' Salisbury checked his new friend into a hotel for the night. However, days later, Brissett was staying at his home with the intention of finding a job in Katy. Those plans changed. Quote, 'As I got to know him, I realized he just needed a break, and he got one. He's turned into a trusted friend.'"
Wow.
And I can go on and on and on. And Salisbury said, quote, "It's been a hell of a run for the past year. The greatest lesson I learned is the face of homelessness is not what you think it is."
Grant, I can speak to that. When I was with the Lakers, every day I'd get on the 405.
Well, hold up, because we'll do that when we come back. I want to hear about it. This is Sports 1140 KHDK. All right, we continue on. All right, as we were going to break, I was talking about Sean Salisbury, and then you were getting ready to talk about an experience you had down in Southern California.
You know, what made me think of it, Grant, on top of other things, is you said the face of homelessness.
Right.
You don't really know what's behind it.
Yeah, Sean said that. Yeah.
And so every day I would leave practice, and, you know, practice was at the Forum, and I'd go down Manchester, get on to the 405, and every day I'd get on, I'd see this homeless guy there, and you know, I'd pull out some money and I hand it to him, and I just kept going. And like Sean, one day there was no traffic, luckily, in Los Angeles, go figure. So I'm on the ramp, and I said, you know what, I'm going to stop. So I just put the car in park. I'm about to go on the freeway, but there's no traffic. So I said, "Hey, man, what's your story, man?" And come to find out, Grant, make a long story short, he was a doctor. And his wife cheated on him, lost his family, and here he is. He's just right there.
A doctor.
This man was a doctor. And so when you said that, it doesn't have a face. It does not have a face.
Unbelievable.
And every day I'd stop and talk to him. So from then, you know, we kind of friends. So I'd, hey, you know, and I'm give him some money. But the point is, you have no idea. Respect is something that you give to everybody.
I wanted to talk about this story. And I guess this was, I didn't hear about this story.
Mm-hmm.
And so with college football starting this weekend, stop me if you've heard this. Did you hear about what Keyshawn Johnson did with his son at Nebraska?
Kind of. I want to say his son got in trouble. I know that.
Yeah, his son, forgive me, but since we're talking about life with what's going on with Hurricane Katrina and the after effects. We're talking about all the people, public figures, private people, athletes, actors, whatever, that have donated an immense amount of money. We're talking about a game tonight that has been canceled between the Dallas Cowboys and the Houston Texans, and the Cowboys are having a telethon to help raise money. And I didn't see this. And the reason why I'm bringing this up is I'm reading all the college football previews, and this story popped up. And basically, Keyshawn Johnson pulled his son out of the University of Nebraska to take an extended leave of absence.
Mm-hmm.
All right? His son came to Nebraska a semester early. He struggled during spring ball. And off the field, he really struggled. He was he had a citation for marijuana possession. And a couple of weeks after that, he went to school and grabbed his son and took him home. And I just thought it was great. He said, you know, one thing you will not do is my son. You will not embarrass Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
You will not embarrass Mike Riley, who's the coach.
Mm-hmm.
And you will not embarrass this family.
Wow.
And he went on and said, if you mature and you're ready to resume your football career and academic goals, then Nebraska will be ready to embrace you. The reason why I'm bringing this up is Keyshawn Johnson was a hothead, talented, but a hothead, and was kind of a diva and was always, or I always thought, as a me guy. Now, I don't know Keyshawn. I may be wrong. I'm only going by the perception
gotcha.
I had of watching him play. Unbelievably talented. And I guess when Keyshawn Johnson was asked about what his son thought, his response was, I never asked him. How about that?
How about that?
At the end of the day, I don't think that decision was in his hands. He squandered that decision. Spot on. And I just think it's great. You know, he said, there's no Mike Riley is good friends with Keyshawn. So his son's automatically going to play. That's not the game. That's not why he went to Nebraska. He went there to work his tail off, to have an opportunity to be successful. But when you don't do that and you squander that, what are you going to do? How about that?
You know, Grant, that is powerful. First of all, you squander an opportunity, so now you don't get one. This is something that I have a conversation with my son all the time, understanding who you are, where you are, and thinking that something is going to be given to you. Keyshawn is exactly right. You are going to work your butt off. You're going to work your tail off, because once you get outside of this house, do not be mistaken that that is going to be the expectation of you from people who don't care about you the way that I do. I love you, so I'm going to give you maybe a little more rope than most people are. But when you get out there, it's do or die. It's do or don't. It's succeed or fail. It's do what I'm asking you to do or not, or you're fired.
Welcome to the show. You're on with Grant Napier and Doug Christie.
Hey, Grant. Hey, Doug. How you guys doing?
What's happening?
Hey, well, you know, I'm in Houston. I live here now. I used to live in Sac. I used to live in Seattle, Doug, as well.
Okay.
I've traveled around and been lucky to have listened to be able to listen to sports guys like you and Sean. And I can tell you that story is 100% real. I know that a lot of times people say stuff, and we think that sometimes people make up stories that just kind of throw the story out there, but I've listened to Sean off and on, and that story is 100% real. He did take in that guy, and he would talk about it progressively as that relationship, and I remember when it first started, I thought, man, he's kind of crazy, but he did a really good thing for a really good guy, apparently, and that's the thing that I think is important, and with what's going on down here lately, I know I didn't get a chance to call in yesterday, but you were talking about the Astros and how they can get functioning in the city again. And to kind of give you guys an idea, imagine Sacramento extending from, like, El Dorado Hills all the way to Vacaville.
Right.
And calling that Houston.
Yeah.
And that's how big Houston is. And imagine if the American River floods, which it does in Sacramento, and it always floods out in Rio Linda by the levees, right?
Yep.
That's kind of what it is here. 90 to 95% of the city is not in horrible shape, but you've got those areas that always flood and they look bad. The reason we didn't get to see anything is because the helicopters weren't permitted to go up and look because National Guard was up in the air. So we get to see now aerial photos that we didn't get to see before. But it is better. It is getting better. I was fortunate. My house is right next to Lake Houston. But, you know, me and my family, we were very, very lucky. Didn't come up to our neighborhood. So it is a nice idea to be able to throw that out there. I'm not a Texans fan yet. I'll always be a Steeler fan. But, you know, they're coming to town on Christmas. Hey, and I've got tickets already.
Oh, good for you. That's great. Well, thank you very much for the call. We really appreciate it.
Enjoy, Brent.
Thank you, guys.
All right. If you want to call the show, 339-1140. That's 339-1140 and 800-920-1140.
A lot of stuff going on, Grant. And when you hear stories like Sean Salisbury, it helps you. You know, you retweeted something, the dog.
Yep.
About in mm-hmm. Houston,
yes,
humanity shows right. that it's still alive, and those are the little things. Social media can do so many things that are on the negative side, but you can spread a story like that one. If you didn't see it, go on Grant's page, check it out. A dog is stranded on a dam, and people go out and build a human ladder.
Yeah, a human chain.
And
yep.
human chain.
Yep.
And they get this yep. dog and bring him back, and it almost brought tears to my eyes. I was just like, that is powerful stuff.
No question. We'll be right back. This is Sports 1140 K. We are rolling right along. Got a little college football tonight, including the Washington Huskies and Jake Browning.
Yes.
They are playing at Rutgers tomorrow. Tonight, you got Ohio State. And then on Saturday, you've got the big game with Alabama and Florida State. You've got Florida and Michigan. But tonight, Ohio State plays. Tomorrow, Washington and Jake Browning play. And then Saturday, not too bad, right?
Yeah, I'm telling you. You know football season is here. You're going to hear some voices that you like to hear on Saturdays and Sunday. Once that kicks in, well, I obviously after next Thursday, it will be rocking and rolling every weekend, Nate.
All right, if you want to call the show, 339-1140. That's 339-1140, 800-920-1140. When you look at the start of college football season, the one thing that has been a real consistent play is Alabama always covers the spread in week one. I mean, if you're into betting, oh, my goodness gracious. Alabama always seems to cover in week one. And first of all, they're really, really good, but it doesn't matter who they're playing. They always seem to blow teams off the field.
What do they have?
Remember the game last year against USC? Opener?
That was a thrashing.
Whoa, boy.
Yeah, well, they didn't know they had a guy named Darnold sitting on the sideline that might have been able to help him out.
You know what? It's a great point.
Do you know the spread for that game by any chance? Because which last year, Grant, when I think about that, you're thinking USC, oh, this is probably going to be a little closer than you anticipate. And boy, oh boy, do they go out and they're ready to go. I think that says a lot about Coach Saban, his making sure that his guys are ready to play right off the bat.
I would say it's 7.5 or 8. I'm looking right now.
Okay.
And what would you guess?
I was going to say 10. Because Alabama is so dominant and you're not really sure what you're going to get from Florida State, maybe 9?
7.
7?
Yep.
Okay.
I mean, again, Florida State's third in the country.
Yeah, but you know what happens, Grant, is they put a lot of those teams up there, and then like USC was high last year, and then after they lose to Alabama, they fall out of it until they find this guy named Sam Darnold, and then they move back up in the rankings.
All right, so the over-under in this game is 49. So Alabama, 7-point favorite, over-under 49. And I think there's going to be more than 49 points.
That's what I was just thinking. I'm sitting here, you see my head going back and forth. I'm thinking 49. Alabama usually comes out really strong.
Yep.
I would anticipate that they probably score 30 points on their own.
Well, Saturday, 5 o'clock Pacific, and can't wait.
It should be an absolute dandy, my friend.
All right, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, got college football tonight. We got NFL football right here on Sports 1140 KHTK. As coming up, we will have the Raiders at home against the Seahawks.
Woo!
And then we can start for real.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't want to see anybody. No Sherman. No,
they're not playing.
Yeah, no Bennett. No, none of that. Yeah, let's just play guys we don't know. And when it gets ready to go for real, be ready, be healthy, and let's go after it.
I mean, again, I think the maybe the best game on the Sunday day card next week is Seattle at Green Bay.
Yeah,
that because you know what, a game like that could have major tiebreaker implications when the playoffs come around.
Now that is a really good point. It's that game at the beginning of the year that, you know, you were ready for, but, man, did we let that slip through our fingers? Yeah. On top of that, how about just starting the season off with the bang, NFL? Seahawks? Cheeseheads? Oh, yeah.
Think about that for a minute, right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about the importance of that game. You know why? Because Green Bay in week two, they have to go to Atlanta where they open up their new stadium.
Oh, man. See, when – I would think a lot of times when like the last couple of years with the Kings, it seemed like we always get those type of games. Someone's coming back from injury. It's a big game. But when you're opening a stadium, you were in the Super Bowl last year. So many different things that are going to have Atlanta just absolutely pumped. It is imperative the Green Bay beats my Seahawks because they're going to go into an absolute hellhole in Atlanta. They're going to be ready to play, man. Those Falcons, I think, will be flying around the field.
All right. Give me your thoughts on this first real, true football weekend as we break it down. We talk some college football. Where do you have Ohio State this year? I mean, they're highly ranked. Are they a Final Four team this year? Is the Big Ten as good as everyone says? Is the ACC, because of excellent coaching and excellent quarterbacks, do you look at them as still the real deal? I got to believe they are. I mean, there's nothing that I look with the ACC and say, I don't see it. They got good quarterbacks. They got good coaching. I think the Big Ten is solid this year. Alabama's Alabama. They seem like they're always good. It's not like that's going away anytime soon. I'm just so happy that we have games to talk about. That's what I'm pumped. This is awesome.
Yeah, it absolutely is. You know, Napes, a lot of these teams, you talk about the Big Ten and, you know, Pac-12 and all the – a lot of them will bump each other off. SEC, you know, Alabama, you got to go through a gauntlet when you're playing there. Even the ACC, yeah, Florida State. There. So this is going to be and I will say this. Now we're at six teams in the playoffs. Is that
four.
Correct? Four teams still? They said they're going to six.
That's four.
Okay. Now you have a recipe. You know exactly what you need to do. You know who's ahead of you, who's behind you, the things that your schedule presents. Coaches have a recipe now to get to that Final Four until they add the two that they were talking about to six. So, a lot of implications starting week one, Alabama, Florida State, Ohio State, Florida.
All right. We are 1 hour in. We will take you up right till 6:30 in Raiders football on Sports 1140 KHTK.